from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Welcome back to hour number 2 of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number 2. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're hanging out with you until noon. Damian Barling was just with us for the last segment. For some reason, pulled up like way early today and decided to drop in. For some reason, he's fired up about Malik Monk. Their show's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, so stay locked into ESPN 1320. It's me and James with you until noon, then D-Lo and Casey will take you into the weekend until 4 o'clock. In case you've been living under a rock, Malik Monk is back with the Kings. He agreed to a 4-year, $78 million contract. He has an option, a player option, in year 3. So the Kings' core is set moving forward. It's De'Aaron Fox, it's Domantas Sabonis, it is Malik Monk, and it is Keegan Murray. And it just erases the biggest offseason question mark for the Kings.
Yeah, now, this was a dark cloud hanging over the head of the team.
Yeah, man, because, yeah. And we've been talking about it all day, if he leaves, now all of a sudden you got to figure out how to fill the void that he leaves in multiple ways, while also trying to add size and athleticism that we talked about. So him being back before the draft, before free agency, it just changes the entire way the Kings can go about attacking this offseason, which is just a massive deal aside. That's separate from what he provides on the court, which is 15.4 points a night, 5.1 assists, and the sixth man of the year caliber play in back-to-back seasons.
Yeah, I think the biggest problem that the Kings had is if they didn't have Monk return, all they had was a mid-level and a biannual exception to work with, and that's it. That's it, total. Like, they could make a trade. They could, you know, use the 13th pick to go acquire something, but and then you can, you know, make some sort of trade with the players you have on your roster. But that really limits what you can do. I mean, basically, we're talking about a top 3, 4, 5 man in your rotation disappearing and having to find a way to replace that without damaging all of the other points in your roster as well.
Yep.
And that would have been nearly impossible. And so Monk's contract of 478, $17.4 million. Add that to the $150 million the Kings already have in contracts.
And are they at the tax?
They're over the tax if you consider a $5 million cap hold for the number 13 pick.
Okay.
But again, I'm not convinced that number 13 pick is going to be selected. And the number 13 pick is interesting because you have a cap hold, but if you were to trade that, you don't trade a contract, you trade the rights to a player. And so it doesn't actually count as anything as it goes out until it's actually a player is signed. And so it's kind of an interesting thing. So again, if you have a $6 million player that you trade, and you can trade him for up to $12 million, right?
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
And then you throw in the 13th pick, which has a $5 million cap hold. The cap hold doesn't have any value going out, and like it just disappears. So, you know, again, if they move off of the cap hold, I mean, if they move off the 13th pick and they don't raise their salary in some other way, which is always a possibility in a trade or whatever. Let's just say they find a deal where they trade the 13th pick for and a $17 million player and a $6 million player, which equals $23 million, mm-hmm. and they trade that for a $23 million player. Now their cap figure goes down. They would still be, they wouldn't have that $5 million cap hold, and then they could use more of the mid-level exception. If they go above the first apron, I believe with, if they go above, they have the mid-level exception at $12.9 million.
Okay.
But if they go above the first apron with that contract, they get hard capped and then they're done. They can't do anything else.
Right.
They're totally stuck the rest of the offseason as far as like signing players and doing all that stuff. Yeah.
Huh.
It's complex, man. But as of right now, they're under the luxury tax.
Okay.
And they have tons of time. The luxury tax isn't actually compiled until you get to the end of the season. That's when the luxury tax actually comes into play.
I see. Okay.
Right? So they look at your totality of salary paid throughout the year and then tax you accordingly.
Mm.
And it's possible the Kings get under the tax. And you know why you don't want to go over the tax is all non-paying tax teams, I think, are getting $19 million this year. Here's a
question. How big of a priority do you think that's going to be?
To stay under the tax?
Yeah. Because it sounds like to me, and maybe I have this wrong, but it sounds like to me they're right up against it. And if you're trading out a $6 million deal and bringing back a $12 million deal and doing that a couple of times, it's going to be really hard to stay under that tax number.
Well, I would agree with you, but I would also say that like your job as a GM is to try to massage this thing the whole way. So if you are looking at, say, a $34 million player, it would behoove you to send out a $17 and an $18 million player and come really close to that salary.
I see.
Right? So then that way you don't have this big swing in money.
Sure.
And you can continuously do that. There's also a possibility that you trade $28 million worth of salary, and for a $34 million player, you take on an extra $6 million, you go over the luxury tax, but then you work out a deal with a $6 million player to go somewhere else for a second round pick and nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
And so you drop $6 million in salary. So again, this is about massaging the cap the whole time.
Sure.
And so I do think that there's a way like the Kings can stay under the luxury tax. But for me, I've always been of the, like a lot of people are like, hey, the Kings have never been a luxury tax team. That Vivek won't pay the money.
Well, they've just never been good enough, but yeah.
But the team's never been good enough.
Right.
And I acknowledge that. And like, if there's ever been a moment for the team to be good enough, then I think that that Vivek would do it.
I think I agree with you, because I think above all, whatever somebody thinks about Vivek, I think he wants to win.
Oh, yeah.
I think that dude is competitive as hell and wants to bring a trophy to Sacramento. And that's why it's in the back of your mind always, just because business people are business people. And any owner might look at the tax bill and go, ooh, actually, you know what? If we stay under, we get 19. Like, yeah, hey, let's operate under that, and then we'll push it forward next year.
Yeah.
But to that end, I think that there's a big swing out there for the Kings where they can go add another big contract, and yeah, okay, maybe it pushes them over the tax or whatever. I don't think they would shut that idea down.
No, I don't think so either. But it's always going to be about like what is like responsible. Mm-hmm. I don't even want to say fiscally responsible. It's what's responsible.
Yeah.
If you don't have the team to pay the luxury tax, and you know it, you can look at your team and you can say, oh, I think we can do it. But you get midway through the season and you have an opportunity to add a bunch of salary at the trade deadline. Because remember, this doesn't go away. Like, the Kings at the trade deadline could trade a $6 million player for a $12 million player, take on $6 million in salary, go above the luxury tax, and now they're...
Right.
But when have we got to that position where it was a clear cut, if you trade for player X, you're going to bump your salary into the luxury tax and you're going to end up paying, and it's going to impact winning? I think we could probably 2 years ago, when all they did was trade for Kessler Edwards at the trade deadline, there was a moment there where you're like, okay, can you go out and get a Plumlee? Can you go out and get a Matisse Thybulle?
Yeah.
There was that opportunity, but it still probably would have been a reasonably like equal trade where they weren't taking on a bunch of money.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say this for people out there who like beat down Vivek for not going into the luxury tax. Has anyone walked downtown? Has anyone walked around Golden One Center, looked at the Golden One Center as it just by itself, but all of the mall that was just trash and
mm-hmm.
the giant hotel that's sitting right there, mm-hmm. the cool environment that's there, that came out of owner's pockets. Yeah, the city kicked in, but like he has not been afraid to spend.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like they also got hit by a global pandemic like everybody else. They lost $100 million in the first, I think it was 90 days of the pandemic, the Kings did.
Oof, who among us?
So, yeah, I mean, it's crazy, right? But they've put the money into it. So I don't think that Vivek is going to shy away
mm-hmm.
if the product is right and if it equals third round playoffs, because mm-hmm. that's where you start making the real money. And Vivek knows that. And also, let's not ignore the fact that he bought the team for a valuation of $535 million. And 10 years later, 11 years later, it's worth $3
billion. Mm-hmm. I think he understands the value of what competing for a title can do for a team.
Uh-huh.
That is, above all else, I think, is his kind of goal. So yeah, it's not, like I said, it's not something that I'm going, man, I'm super worried. The Kings are right up against the tax, and I think all their moves are going to be about staying under the tax. I don't think that's the case at all.
Yeah.
Because I think they are obviously competing for a playoff spot this year. They're going to do everything they can this offseason to get closer to that spot. And I think come deadline time, if they do the right things this offseason, they will be buyers at the trade market at the trade deadline more than like, oh, hey, let's see, tax time. We gotta get rid of some guys and
start
make sure that we're
counting pennies.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be a thing.
No, I think that they've positioned themselves that they can now swing for the fences. Again, when you have a core mm-hmm. and you have $27 million in expiring contracts,
yeah.
you have another $35 million per season in the package of Barnes and Herter
mm-hmm.
that can be moved, and then you have up to 4 first-round picks, you might be able to cook. That's where we're at. Yeah. Like, you might be in a situation where you can go cook.
Yeah. All right. And we're going to go to break. We'll have a couple of non-Kings things for you coming up, but we'll also be back to the Kings as well. Matt Moore from the Action Network, he got the ball rolling on all the Kings, Zach LaVine trade chatter. We'll clarify some things with him. That's coming up at 11:30. You're not going to want to miss it. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen, and we're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. And clear.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Hey, Wednesday! Wednesday, Wednesday, Wednesday. Tom's Watch Bar, NBA Draft, that's where you're going to be. Join us Wednesday at Tom's Watch Bar in Doko across from Golden One Center for the first round of the NBA Draft. We will get started at 5 p.m. with an intro to the draft, and then we'll watch and evaluate the picks together. That's right. If we yell loud enough, because we're going to be right there at Tom's Watch Bar across from Doko, mm-hmm. The Kings front office and brain trust will actually probably hear us. So that's going to be kind of the goal. So we're going to be up there. You'll join me. James, you're going to be out, but I'll be there. D'Lo and KC going to be there. Jesse's going to be there. Charlie O. For a draft night experience at Tom's Watch Bar, that's at 414 K Street, Suite 180 in Doko. If you go up to Golden One Center, you can't miss it. It's right there. It's got all the outdoor seating. It's got all the TVs. We're going to have mics. We're going to be chit-chatting, but it's not going to be live. It's not going to be recorded. We're just going to be out there having a great time talking NBA draft with you and consuming the NBA draft with you and consuming, I'm assuming, some food and some beverages on Wednesday.
I like the nacho.
Night one of the draft.
The nacho over there is pretty.
Is it
pretty
great?
Solid.
I love a nacho.
Yeah,
very good. I will be consuming those then. Thank you for the suggestion, and hope to see everybody out there again. Festivities start at 5 for day one of the draft next Wednesday at Tom's Watch Bar. What?
Jesse will be there eating saltless French fries.
Probably. Hey, 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. Don, you're on the Insiders with James and Kyle. What's up?
What's up, family? How you doing, man?
Hanging in there, bro.
Hey, man. It's great to talk to y'all on the day, man. Shout out to Monk. Man, he is a Sacramento legend. I appreciate everything he did for us, man. That is great. I feel like that put us in so much closer to being a contenders now. And I had two trade proposals I wanted to ask you guys about.
Okay.
My first trade proposal, I was thinking like Kyle Kuzma. So pick 13, Kev, and Davion for Kyle Kuzma, because Kyle Kuzma, he's a scoring upgrade. He's a rebounding upgrade, playmaking upgrade, size upgrade over Harrison Barnes. And then I was thinking about getting some more firepower on the bench with John Collins for Barnes and Sasha, because you can really just swap out their contracts and the money works. So, and John Collins, he would be a lob threat for Monk. He's a passable shooter. He's a good rebounder. He's a good scorer. And like I said, I feel like if he just switching out with Barnes and Sasha, you're not really losing too much for two more years. So what you guys think about that?
Hey, I'm sorry. What did you say your name was?
Buddha.
Buddha. Thanks, Buddha. Appreciate
thanks, Buddha.
You. Yeah. I did the Don bit and he didn't respond.
He did not give you the name.
Blew right through it. Let's see. He's in on the Malik Monk thing. I am in agreement there. The first deal was Davion Herter and the 13th for Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah, I think he mixed it up there too. He had Sasha and Barnes as well.
Sasha and Barnes for John Collins.
Oh, got it. Okay. Hey, like, look, if you can land, Kyle Kuzma for some sort of package that includes the 13th pick and, contracts that you have, I'm in. At this point, especially with the Monk signing, because now you're locking in at, you understand the financials going forward. Kyle Kuzma's contract is spectacular. Like, yeah. I keep talking about it. I think it's 25, 23, 21, and 19.
And it decelerates, which is kind of wild.
So he's going to be a $23 million player this season. That's crazy talk. And for a player that can do what he can do, I don't know that he's a perfect fit, but like, I would prefer him over like Jeremy Grant, because Jeremy Grant's contract goes up to $37 million. And I don't think he's a better player. I don't know that, like, maybe he's a better defender, but I still think it like makes things a little complicated.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, the second trade that he brought up, John Collins, I think we're all out on at this point.
Yeah, man. I just like, look, I get, I don't want to hammer the idea, because it's John Collins as in this scenario, probably like your eighth or ninth guy. And if John Collins is your backup big, that's okay, fine. But at the same time, you're not paying what is he making?
Collins is at 26.5, and then there's a player option at 26.5 the next year.
So he's got 2 years left at $26.5 million a year.
Yeah, so you're looking at like 53, 54. Yeah,
that's a lot, man. For somebody who's not theoretically going to play a ton.
I've always liked John Collins, and even this last year, I know he took a beating. I don't know, whatever happened there. He shot 37% from three. Like, this is a guy who averaged 15 points, 8.5 rebounds, blocked a shot a game, and is at a block per game for his career.
Mm-hmm.
On paper, he looks like a perfect fit.
Yes.
Next to not only Domantas Sabonis, but what Buddha said, like, this is a legitimate lob threat. Legitimate. Yes. John Collins likes to get up and absolutely hammer on somebody.
Yes.
So, but the problem is that his advanced metrics and his on-court, off-court stuff is not good.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. Keith Reed in the chat makes a great point. He's saying Collins is starting at the four if you're making that deal. And that's the problem. Is I think an ideal John Collins role is like the seventh or eighth guy, and he's playing a handful of minutes a night in those short, almost like Derek Lively and Daniel Gafford did for the Mavs in their playoff run.
Okay, but like, if you did what Buddha said and you were able to pull off both trades, then if you had both, Kuzma would start Collins off the bench.
Sure.
Collins and Trey Lyles at the five, I think is okay. I think you can get away with that. I think there's no way to hide some of the athletic deficiencies of the Kings with Trey Lyles at the five. Mm-hmm. Trey Lyles, I think, can play a natural five. And if he makes a Canadian national team, it's probably going to be as a small ball five.
Yeah.
But his ability to shoot, his ability to rebound, all those things, he has to have an athlete next to him. And mm-hmm. that's like we keep talking about the like oil and vinegar mix here, that the things just keep separating. They don't work, right? Mm-hmm. And that's because you have like a bunch of like not, they're not unathletic players. They just aren't like the biggest, longest, strongest, you know, leapers they that get, you can possibly
they,
find.
They struggle with bigger athletic players.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why you just need something to counter that. Yeah, man. If John Collins was on a mid-level type of deal, and he's going to be the four alongside Trey Lyles, and I was going to play 18 minutes a night, then sure.
Yeah.
But I think if you're going and getting him for some kind of substantial role, I think that's a mistake. I'm just kind of out on him.
No, I get that. I do think that he would be a really, really crazy pairing with Monk off the bench, like John Collins, because John Collins does what, like the rim running.
So are you in on that idea then?
Bigs. It would have to be the right situation. Like, and
is
I'm
this
not
the
sure.
right situation?
Maybe.
We know what the situation is.
Okay, so look, here's what I would say. Last year, John Collins' offensive rating, 116.6.
Okay.
And his off the Jazz, when he was off the court, dropped to 115.4. So okay. His offensive rating. The opponent offensive rating when John Collins was on the court was a 123.9. When he was off, it dropped to 118. He was a plus six with the opponent offensive rating. So that's not good. So a net rating.
So his defensive rating.
Yeah. A net rating for John Collins was a negative 7.3 last season. Yeah.
Ugh.
That's tough. That's tough.
Yeah. I'm kind of out. In theory, like we talked a lot about John Collins last year.
Yeah.
Probably the year before that.
2 years. Yeah. 2 years ago, but, John Collins. I mean, there were so many rumors. Even when they traded for Herter. There were so many rumors about Collins coming to Sacramento.
Yeah, and I think the John Collins style of player is exactly what you're looking for. Huh? I just don't think it's John Collins. I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm out.
Well, that and I don't know that like Kyle Kuzma is a better player, but what is the difference between a John Collins and a Kyle Kuzma? Like it's like there was a point in their career. John Collins at like 23 years old averaged 20 and 10.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for a good Atlanta Hawks team,
yeah.
And 21 and 10, and like that's at 22 years old. Like what's happened to him since then isn't great. Although I still think he's still a reasonable NBA player.
Maybe he's just miscast on a bad Jazz team.
It has to be in the right situation, right? That's why I totally think it. Like him in the right situation, you might be able to stumble upon something. But at 26 for. You're talking about 2 years and $53 million. That's a big risk,
right? And that's and for your backup four, if in this scenario, if you're also going and getting Kyle Kuzma,
yeah.
So
that's wild.
I don't hate it.
Yeah,
like I don't. I see the vision, Buddha. But yeah, man, it's a lot. It's a lot for John Collins.
I would say this, like the alternative, if there's some way for you to get like super quick, if there's some way for you to get Brandon Ingram. You basically are going to have to pay Brandon Ingram that 40-something. Mm-hmm. Like, you basically could get one Brandon Ingram that's going to cost you more to get, or those two, which will probably cost you nothing to get, or the 13th pick and contracts.
That's kind of interesting.
Yeah. All right. I think so, too.
All right. Matt Moore, the Action Network, he's going to join us next. We'll talk NBA offseason. We'll talk Zach LaVine and the Kings. You're not going to want to miss it. That's coming up on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320. Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing.
He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Burke.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. And joining us now from the Action Network, you can also hear him on the Buckets podcast. Subscribe to that wherever you get your pods. Matt Moore at HP Basketball on Twitter. Matt, thanks so much for hopping on with us, man. How are you?
Good, man. Thanks for having me. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah, of course. So, You wrote in the Action Network, you wrote a whole notebook of off-season notes, and one of the things that was in there that jumped out to us here in Sacramento was that the Kings have called the Bulls about Zach LaVine. My immediate question on that is that like a recent thing, or has that been an ongoing discussion between those two clubs? What have you been hearing there?
Yeah, I think there were discussions back at the trade deadline, based off what I heard, that there were some conversations that happened at the trade deadline as the Bulls desperately tried to develop a market for Zach LaVine. I think they've kind of been revisited with the Kings still looking at various options for moves this summer. And so I think it's always – this is one of the things I think is hard to tell, is when you get information off – I can't count how many times it's been I'll follow up on something with someone and be like, hey, I heard this. I'm like, well, yeah, that definitely happened 6 weeks ago. And then you're like – okay, cool. Just checking in. So trying to figure out like what's the most recent thing, I think, is really difficult. But I do think those conversations have been going on, because honestly, a lot of the time, not always, there's always things where it just happens very immediately. But a lot of the times there's deals that are revisited, they're brought up during the trade deadline, and then they can't get something done. And then they're brought back up in the summer. You have more time to kind of work it out, and you understand a little bit more of where your team's at. So you get to kind of think on it for a few months. And that happens pretty commonly, I think, in the league.
Yeah, Matt, I know that I had heard a lot about Zach potentially coming to Sacramento, or at least the idea of it early in the season before he got hurt. And, you know, we started hearing that Zach would love to pair with De'Aaron Fox in the backcourt. And this is, of course, after LaVine years earlier had signed an offer sheet with the Kings. The Bulls matched and he went back and then was like, hey, I'm so glad I didn't get stuck in Sacramento. And so I think it's interesting because these deals do take a long time, But just as a player, the problem I've always had with Zach, and I like the offensive game. I like his playmaking. Like, I think he has a lot of positive attributes. But two things stand out. Number one, he can't stay healthy at all. And number two, his contract is ridiculous. And I just, do those things make him, you know, whether it's the Kings or someone else, do they make him one of the hardest players in the league to actually find a trade partner for?
Yeah, I think so. I think the contract in particular is just really bad for trying to get somebody to want to invest that kind of money to tie up that kind of cap space, especially given the new apron rules, right? Like, everybody's really scared of getting close to the apron. So if you're going to add a guy like that, you've got to feel like Zach LaVine is a guy that's going to be a pillar for your team. And there's not a lot of confidence that he is that. The injury stuff, I think, is pretty variable. I think there's concerns. Obviously, he's had a pretty bad injury history, but we've seen guys move past those in their careers, and I don't think that LaVine's so reliant on his athleticism that it's going to decline at an extremely high rate. The other thing I think that really happened to him, honestly, was I'm on a little bit of an island on this. I think that DeMar DeRozan going to that team was one of the worst things in the world for him. Mm. He had revamped his shot selection. He had become much more of a playmaker. He'd become much more of a dynamic, efficient player that led to like better offense. And then DeMar got there, and it was like slowly over time. In the beginning, they were sharing duties, and then DeMar just kept taking more and more and more and more usage. And the problem with DeMar is with the mid-range stuff is like all of your spacing is cramped and you just can't really do it. And when you have Vucevic, now it's like you have a mid-range guy and you have a guy usually in the paint, or if not, it's just a big kind of rotating up and pick and pop spots. And it wasn't really the kind of system, I think, that allows for LaVine to be what he's really great at, which is being a really explosive three-level scorer who can also make really great reads. He wasn't able to be that guy with DeRozan. And so I think that really limited his upside, where now, you know, he's thought of as like the defensive liability, just kind of a gunner. Why are you going to pay this much for him? When he was on track for, like, I thought he was like all NBA borderline before DeMar's season where he got there. So I think that there's still like a lot of upside for him. Now, that was several years ago, so maybe not. But I do think that LaVine right now is a little bit underrated by where the market's at, in part because of how people view that contract.
Matt Moore, The Action Network, you can also check him out on the Buckets podcast. So do you think that there will be a trade market for LaVine this offseason?
I think they're going to move him. I think yesterday kind of shows the willingness of that front office in Chicago to just basically do a deal and just reshape it. Mm-hmm. They want to reshape that team for a number of reasons. Everything I've heard is that DeMar DeRozan's going to be back, that they're going to re-sign him on a huge deal, and they're going to build around DeRozan, which, good luck to you. But I do think that LaVine's going to be gone, and I think there's enough teams looking for scoring options. Between, I think the Wizards are actually a team that's interested in LaVine. I think that the Magic are at least willing to have those conversations because they do understand the need for them to add some scoring punch. I think you look at some other teams that might be willing to be like, hey, this could be a really good move for us if we get the right deal, especially because if Chicago's going to set the kind of terms that they did with Caruso, I think there's a pretty good opportunity there to get a buy low spot on LaVine. And it doesn't sound like the Bulls are dead set on getting great value return, which is going to make it interesting if the Kings decide to keep those conversations up, or if they return to them, if they're dormant, of exactly, you know, how much do you have to give up? Because the Kings have a very good trade package that I've heard that as being offered around, and I don't necessarily know they have to give up all those pieces in order to get Zach LaVine outside of just satisfying the salary requirements.
Yeah, the salary requirements are, I mean, it's crazy because you're going to basically have to package, you know, three players probably. I mean, we've heard whether it was last year or even like midway through the year, the package of Herter and Barnes being shopped. It's something that you also reported. The one question I had for you is, when you heard your information, you mentioned both Caruso and LaVine. And was that something like as a package? Because it seems to me that LaVine's contract is so prohibitive for most teams that you might have had to give up a Caruso to move off of LaVine. And that's something that like kind of stood out for me with your reporting specifically, that it was both of them that the Kings were interested in.
Yeah, so I think that it was kind of a we'll take the LaVine contract, but we're going to need Caruso along with it. And this goes into something that an executive told me. I talked about this with an exec last summer. He said, one of the problems that you run into in trades is it's hard when you have an asset that the other team knows is available. Because if it's just like you have that asset, they're going to want that regardless, even if you're like, but that's not part of this deal. I don't want that as part of this deal. They're like, well, you have it, so you need to include it. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of, that's one of the things I think that actually kind of switches here is the Kings now have to decide, like, is the LaVine deal, and other teams have to too, that I think were involved in. There were two teams I don't know of that had also called about this package of LaVine and Caruso that I think now you have to evaluate, do you still want this? Because now it's like, you can't ask for Caruso, he's gone. You can't get Caruso with this deal anymore, mm-hmm. but you can still pull this deal off, and you can't add LaVine, even if you take off some of the assets for it. Do you still want that deal? Or were you only in it to try and get Caruso? Now, the Bulls, I think, manhandled this in terms of what they got for Caruso, but I do wonder how that impacts the conversations about LaVine, because you no longer have to resist including Caruso in a deal because he's already gone.
Talking with Matt Moore of the Action Network. Also, check him out on the Buckets podcast. We've been talking a lot about Malik Monk today here in Sacramento. Of course, if anyone missed it, 4 years, $78 million for Malik Monk to return to the Kings. I'm wondering if this tracks for you, because it felt like the Orlando Magic were the team that was most likely to offer Monk a deal in the range of 4 years and $100 million. We'll just call it that. And when you look at his skill set and kind of what they needed, it's like, man, that would be a really perfect fit. But then he agrees to re-sign with the Kings before ever officially exploring the free agent market. Do you think that that had anything to do with, A, the contract he was going to get from the Magic? Or is that an indicator that the Magic went, yeah, we like you, but we're really, really going to pursue Klay Thompson first, and then we'll get back to you when that's settled?
I actually think it has more to do, I think, with a testament to Sacramento's culture of them having built an environment where players want to make these kind of decisions and stay because they want to be part of something where they can compete and compete at the level that they want with the guys that they want. And the reason I say that is, like, I don't think Orlando was the only, I don't even think Orlando was the highest bidder. Now, this could, a lot of the way that this works out is sometimes it's the player's representation is spreading stuff. And so, yeah, no, there was this offer for X amount of dollars that later you ask and they're like, no, that was never out there. But my understanding was that Detroit and Charlotte were both willing to make huge offers for Monk. Like very considerable offers, north of $100 million for Monk. And that what wound up happening, and like there was a shock in the league circles I talked to last night of he didn't even like there, he left so much money on the table to come back to Sac. Now, maybe that's not true. Maybe Monk's value on the market, maybe that shifted in the last couple of days. And I have heard things about Charlotte maybe pivoting, taking on being more of a rebuild situation where they want to take on bad contracts in exchange for assets. And if you're doing that, you don't necessarily want to hand out that kind of money. So that maybe that's one of the things that shifted in the last couple of weeks. But my understanding was like he was going to have no problem getting an offer north of what the Kings could max out offer. And so the fact that he came back, like I have to attribute that to how much they've done to endear that kind of response from the players, that there's that kind of trust and support. So really, I think it's a testament to Sacramento and to what Malik wants for his career, because you just don't see guys leave money on the table very often. And at least from my vantage point, I think he did.
Yeah, that's a really interesting take. And, yep. You know, to be honest, we heard some murmurs earlier in the day that was very true, that there was a potential deal out there that was north of $100 million or $20 million plus more than what the Kings could offer. And so it started to get a little dark and gloomy. And then to see the tweet come through is pretty crazy. You also mentioned Kyle Kuzma in your piece with regards to the Kings. Where is this at? Because this has been, I mean, from the time that he was almost traded for Buddy Hield along with Montrezl Harrell from the Lakers to even last summer, Kuzma and the Kings has been like this weird on the outskirts, just never gets consummated type deal. Where are you at? What are you hearing with this?
So I actually heard that some of those conversations were a three-way deal with Chicago, that it was going to involve either LaVine and Kuzma both coming to Sac, which I thought that was a bit much given the requirements where the roster's at. So that didn't make much sense to me. Or that LaVine was going to wind up in Washington and then Kuzma goes with Caruso to the Kings. With Caruso, I think that changes some of that dynamic. I do know that Washington, I think, has at least some interest in LaVine, and which is crazy given the Jordan Poole situation, but it is what it is. But I do think that, look, I think Kuzma is going to continue to be an option tied to the Kings for quite a while. I think that there's a willingness on both sides from Kuzma, and the Kings are interested in him as a player. And Kuzma, I think, is interested in the Kings as an organization to facilitate that. But this may also be wind up being one of those where my inclination is that it probably won't happen based off of the fact that I think Washington values Kuzma a little bit more than the market does. That's pretty common, right? Everyone mm-hmm. likes their own players more than the market does. And if you're looking for a king's ransom for, pardon the pun, for Kuzma, I don't think you're really going to get it. I think that the Barnes Herder draft pick is, honestly, with Caruso going for no picks, like, I'm very curious to see what happens with the market now, because now you have this player that everybody was like, man, we would love to have Alex Caruso, and not getting a single pick for it. That has impacts on these other things. So now I think it's hard for you to be like, yeah, we'll throw in a pick for this other guy who may not be as impactful. Not necessarily saying that's Kuzma, because Kuzma is more of an offensive guy, a little bit more balanced. And I think he has better defensive days in front of him on teams that aren't, you know, the Wizards. So I think there's a lot of upside there, but I do think that there's enough for those conversations to keep intact. And even if it may end up happening that the Kings are involved in a three-way trade and Kuzma winds up going back, I think that those kind of conversations, I think, will probably continue as we get closer to the end of free agency.
Matt Moore, this is great stuff. Everybody make sure to follow along at HP Basketball on Twitter. You can find his work at the Action Network. You can also hear him on the Buckets podcast, wherever you get your pods. Matt, this is great. Thank you so much for stopping by, man.
Thanks for having me.
Good seeing you, buddy.
All right, that was awesome. Matt Moore, like I said, the Action Network at HP Basketball on Twitter. Man, that the take on Malik Monk, I thought, was fascinating.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he heard Detroit and Charlotte. I don't know if that jives with what you had heard. But definitely the thing that jumped out the most to me when news came down that Monk re-signed is, we get Kenny Caraway in here for the handoff. Kenny Caraway in the building, everybody. D'Lo and Casey,
yes, sir,
coming up here in about 10 minutes. But the thing that jumped out to me when Malik signed was, wow, he's not even waiting for free agency. There's going to be more money out there, like, for sure. It might not be 25 a year, but there's going to be more than 4 and 78. Mm-hmm. So that, to me, said something about where the Kings are organizationally, that Monk went, yeah, hey, this is where I would like to play basketball for the foreseeable future.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. I said a couple days ago, if I was advising Malik, I would say your best bet is to stay in Sacramento if basketball is number one on your list.
Mm-hmm.
If basketball is not a number one on your list, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
If you're money motivated and money is the biggest thing, I'm not here to judge you.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go where the top dollar is.
Mm-hmm.
But if basketball is what's at the top of your list, the best combination of everything that you could be looking for, like, basketball's number one, money might be number two. Like, to get the best of everything,
mm-hmm.
I think it was Sacramento. And I also think, I thought, me and Jesse talked about this a lot. I never really thought he was getting more than a $20 million a year offer. And if it was 20 and I was like one of the homies or whatever, I'd be like, man, you might as well just stay for 17.5 or whatever, compared to 20 in a situation that you're not really sure about, you might as well stay. If it got up to 25, which I never really saw, but if it got up to 25, then decisions would be tougher to make. But if it was 20, 18, 19, 20,
yeah,
to me, it's kind of an easy decision. You just stay in SAC.
Well, that, and I think the situation in SAC, he knows exactly who he is and what he is to this team. He knows what Mike Brown expects from him. He knows that Mike Brown is going to be here for another 2 or 3 years at a minimum. You can go somewhere else, and like what happened with Detroit can happen overnight.
Mm-hmm.
Something in Charlotte, they just went with a brand new head coach and what, Charles Lee, right?
Yep.
And we don't know if Charles Lee is going to make it or not. Like, they're, Darvin Ham just like flamed out, and those guys were in competition. They're both assistants with the Bucks for years, and one of them got a head coaching job, and boom, he's already done, and he's back being an assistant. Mm-hmm. So you don't know what's going on with Charlotte. You've already been there. You've already gone through the rigmarole with them, and had a bad experience. Detroit just literally fired their head coach like 2 days ago. Just wild,
insane.
And so
totally insane.
I think there is a moment of reflection where you're like, why am I questioning what I have?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the grass is not always greener. What mm-hmm. am I doing? Because I could end up damaging myself long-term, my mm-hmm. career. You brought this up earlier, Kyle. Like, when he gets done, or maybe it was Damian, like, if he were to go to Detroit and, you know, 3 years from now, he might have to opt into the final year knowing that he's not going to make hardly anything on the backside, mm-hmm. because it doesn't matter how many points you put up for a bad team. Like, it's a bad team, and you can't save the team, and people start looking at you in a different yep. way. And all of a sudden you're a $6 million player, not a guy who could potentially make 30 in your next deal. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a really interesting sort of dynamic.
That was not a point I made. I wish I had, though.
No,
Dane, a good one.
Dane's been talking about that for a long time, and it is a great point. It mm-hmm. is a great way to look at this situation where, you know, we'll talk about it a little more in depth, and I just keep thinking about it. What if Malik Monk here in Sacramento turns into CJ McCollum? Now you get $78 million. What is CJ just got $130 million
yeah.
in like his fourth contract at that point? Like, what if he turns into that? Your best opportunity,
ski mask job by CJ there. That's crazy.
the your best opportunity to get to that level will probably be here in Sacramento. So it's not just the contract that's in front of you. You got to sit down and think, where do I have the best opportunity to maximize the next contract and possibly the contract after that?
It's just so cool, and this is what we talked about at the very top of the show, that the Kings are in a place where a free agent like Malik Monk wants to stay. Mm-hmm. Just at all, under any circumstances. Mm-hmm. Didn't go chase a bag, because this is a spot, I think, if you're Malik, and you and I talked about this, we've all talked about this at various points, but it's like, if you're Malik and you're looking at the Kings and, hey, I want to compete for a playoff spot, I want to compete for a championship, that's what I want to do, mm-hmm. and if I didn't get hurt last year, we're a playoff team. Mm-hmm. I believe that. I'm certain he believes that.
Right, right.
And so, hey, you're going to come back. I'm talking to the Kings front office. Knows, hey, this roster isn't going to look exactly the same next season. Mm-hmm. It's going to look a little better. We're going to make a real run at this thing over the next couple of years. I it's just crazy to think of where this team was 3 years ago compared to now.
And you know what, though, Kyle, too? You're spot on. But it's also a testament to the things that all of us have been saying for a long time, and you never really got to see it play out because the Kings haven't really been that good as of late. And the situation hasn't really presented itself. But regardless of what the outside perception is, mm-hmm. historically, when players get here, they like it here.
Yes.
They're like, oh, it's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Like, I like it here, whether – you know, it's another contract, whether I've retired and I'll live here when I'm retired. Kim Bazemore lives here. Kim
Bazemore lives here?
He lives in Folsom.
What?
Yeah. That's how Steph was. That's one of the reasons why Steph was playing. I think
okay.
Coach Molly said his daughter was out here for a volleyball tournament, but he went with Kim Bazemore to the gym. So, like,
that tracks.
That's just, like, it's a cool place. It's not New York or LA or anything like that, but when you get to a different point in your life and you're like, I want to figure out like where I want to live for the rest of my life with a family or whatever the case may be. Historically, people look at Sacramento once they get here and they experience it. It's pretty cool. And then as a player, you see like how the fan base is and how, you know, people are so excited about the Kings, and they've said a number of different times, it's like a college atmosphere. And it's a good place to be if you're a Sacramento King. And I think we saw that played a factor in Malik deciding to stay.
I would add this too. I think having Malik, not only does it impact what you do this summer, right? Everyone, we've talked about it. Like, now you got your core four. You know exactly who your core is moving forward. It also, when De'Aaron Fox is about to come up for a contract extension, he can get a 3-year deal this summer. And if he would have made all NBA, he could have got a 4-year deal. But next summer, mm-hmm. realistically, you can get a 4-year deal. And if he makes all NBA, I think he can get a 5-year deal. He can get the Supermax. And now it becomes a lot easier to make sure that Fox is staying here. Mm-hmm. And it makes it a lot easier to make sure that to recruit players mm-hmm. to come in and play for this team. It makes you like a desirable spot because you have desirable players that people want to play with.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, we're talking three guys right there that average over 5 assists a game when you add Sabonis.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And like, who wouldn't want to play for a team that scores 125 a night and shares the ball and everybody's having a good time and, mm-hmm. you know, you got the crazy light, the beam, and the fans are great and all this stuff. Like, that's something that Sacramento has fought so hard to like get past that stigma mm-hmm. that you're an NBA outpost. But this helps. This does help. And he has the opportunity to be the greatest free agent signing the Kings have ever had.
Absolutely.
He does.
Is he not already there?
Vlade's still there. Vlade's still there.
Vlade's still there.
But he's knocking on the door.
Okay.
Devin George also lives here.
Now you got 3 or 4 years. Yeah.
That I feel random. Like Devin George comes up once a week. This really is a great dude. I love that.
Great dude. Really
shout
cool.
out to Devin George. Yeah. I hope he's listening. Pull up to the studio. Come hang out.
Anytime.
What do you guys got? Anything besides Malik?
Nah, we might talk Euro Cup. You know what? No, it's Malik Monk.
Yeah, no, we got France playing some guy named Ned.
Oh my.
It's gonna be crazy.
It's Malik Monk Day here in Sacramento. Let's go.
All right. D'Lo and KC coming up next. James is out next week. He's taking a little summer vacay with the fam. Love that for him.
Sweet.
I will be back with friends next week, Monday, 10 a.m. Everybody have a great, safe weekend. And until then, drink water and be nice, people. Bye.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.